Hey, everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Thanks for downloading this episode of the Corner Office Podcast. This time, I'm talking to Dan Beckerman. He's the president and CEO of AEG. That's one of the world's biggest presenters of sports and entertainment programming, also a subsidiary of the Anschutz Corporation. AEG owns or operates or is affiliated with more than 120 of the world's biggest facilities and entertainment districts. Staples Center in LA Live here in LA, the O2 in London, Mercedes Plots in Berlin, and both the Barclays Center and PlayStation Theater in New York. And they own a couple of sports teams, the LA Kings, for one, a share in the LA Galaxy as well. We went out to LA Live and the Staples Center the other day. It's about a mile and a half away from Marketplace World headquarters here in downtown to talk to Dan Beckerman. He gave us a little tour.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
All right, so I have to tell you,
yes.
I honestly thought you'd be like up on the 50th floor of the Marriott or something instead of like the third floor or some low rise.
This is it. This is where the magic happens.
One would figure the boss would have a better office. I'm just
saying. You know, it's funny. We used to have offices down the street at in a big office building overlooking this site when we were developing Staples Center.
Yeah.
So we were on the 50th floor then.
Right. There you go. You had a better view back in the day.
But you know what? It's almost like indicative of our culture a little bit is we want to be kind of hands-on right in it.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right. So we are walking out like onto the plaza here. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Lovely day in L.A.
That's right.
So 10 years ago, on this site was Staples Center, and that's about it.
Yeah, it was 1998. We broke ground on Staples Center. This was not the best part of the city.
Yeah.
I think back then, downtown LA was just known as the financial center.
Right.
And when you look around today and you see these buildings popping up all around us, it's become so much more than that. It's still the business center and the financial center, but it's also the sports and entertainment center. It's the culinary center. It's the cultural center in a lot of different ways.
More to the point, it's a place where people come at night.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you see, so much of the development that you see as we walk around is actually residential. So in addition to it being a great place to come and experience sports and entertainment, it's now a place where people work and live.
Yeah.
A lot of that development, I mean, it's no secret. We've poured billions of dollars into downtown Los Angeles, but we also focus on what we're good at. So we are not residential developers. We're not retail developers. So what we see in a lot of these projects, not just here in downtown LA, but other projects, is other developers coming in and putting their capital and building these other pieces of it. And that's kind of a rewarding part of it. And we focus on our core.
In a way, you were betting on the come, right?
Well, we make bets, and we make bets in big cities, obviously. But it's not just about what cities you go into. It's about places in the city that need economic redevelopment and reinvestment. So we come into downtown Los Angeles, we go into East London, we go into East Berlin. So we believe in the big markets, but it's as much about where in the market as opposed to just the market itself. So downtown is sort of where it started. That's kind of the perfect example of that.
All right, now what is this? Where are we?
So we're taking you behind the scenes. So we are now on the ground floor of the Microsoft Theater.
Aha.
So this was after Staples Center opened in 1999. The next piece of LA Live that opened was this theater. It's a 7,000-seat theater. It's the home to the Emmys. It's the host to the ESPYs and concerts and family shows. And it's really become an important part of this 100-acre campus, which is Staples Center, LA Live, the hotel, and the convention center.
Interesting use of the word campus.
It is, and that's really what we've developed, and we're at 100 acres now with us taking the management of the convention center.
Yeah.
And it really becomes an important thing for attracting some of these big events like award shows and All-Star Games and the Olympics.
So you got to give them the whole package, right? Is that the
deal? We do. Big events, they want to activate every part of the campus. They want to have all of the restaurants so they can buy out for their parties. They want to have the convention center for the fan fest. They want to have the big open plaza for everybody to congregate, Staples Center for a game or an award show.
Right.
So we like to offer them everything. And so Microsoft Theater is an important piece of that puzzle. It's 7,000 seats, so we're in the basement of this. This was the second piece of the campus that opened. Staples was first. Microsoft Theater was 2007. And then LA Live was 2008. Hotel was 2009.
As we walk here, can we talk timing for a second?
Because
2007 and 2008 was no time at all in this economy to be opening some giant bazillion-dollar investment.
Yeah, there was the downturn was certainly a factor, especially with the hotel development, which really opened in the heart of it. And I don't think that any business in the world is recession-proof.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you the lesson that we learned coming out of 2007, 8, and 9 is that our business, not just here in downtown L.A., but really internationally in a lot of ways, is recession-resistant.
Huh.
And I think it's because of the markets that we're in, the nature of sports and entertainment, and that we have great assets, whether it's the O2 in London or Staples right. Center or the Kings or the Lakers or the Galaxy. There are,
ooh.
So now, all right, so I've
so this
gonna,
is a tunnel.
I'm
look at this.
Interrupt
it's a,
myself
it's
now.
Another big boomy space.
We'll come back to
so,
the recession in
so
a second.
So this is the tunnel.
So this is the underground tunnel. So this was not built when Staples Center opened.
Yeah.
And the Microsoft Theater, you know, Staples Center across the street, 20,000 seats. Microsoft Theater, 7,000 seats. So when we were building LA Live, we wanted to be able to capitalize on a lot of the infrastructure that we had at Staples Center. We have a whole bunch of staff locker rooms and a huge commissary for our concessionaire right. and all of these sort of, it's a big footprint and we have all of these back right. of the house services. So we thought, well, do we need to build all of that again with this yeah. new 7,000 seat venue across the street? Or is there somewhere where we can connect these and leverage the infrastructure that we had.
And here we are.
So we built this tunnel, which enables us, you come in here on any given
right.
Friday or Saturday when we have events going at both the theater and Staples Center.
And when there's a gazillion people up in the plaza up
right above
right?
us,
yeah.
there are thousands of people there, and there are 20,000 people filing into Staples and another 7,000 filing into the theater.
Right.
This is a buzzing corridor with people and staff and right. food and beverage going underneath.
Yeah. Man, this is gritty down here. You weren't kidding back at the house.
Well,
this
that's kind of the way. Honestly, these places are where I'm most comfortable.
Huh.
This is to me, this is home.
Wow.
I'm a bit of an arena rat myself. So to me, this is home sweet
is
home.
Part,
it may
right.
look a little bit gritty.
No,
but,
it's good. You got the beer kegs stacked up, and
yes.
you got the food trolleys going by.
We got a game tonight.
Yeah.
We have
right. That's so funny. So it's 10 o'clock in the morning, and you know doors open probably in 8 hours. But you got to get ready.
Absolutely, and we'll have.
Oh wait! Oh look at this. Okay, I know where we are now.
So this is the corner of the floor. We have the Clippers tonight. So any moment now, we'll have the visiting team probably doing their shoot around.
Yeah, well, some basketball's going.
Yes, it's a very busy building. We had the Lakers last night. We have the Kings tomorrow night. We have the Clippers tonight. So this is the time of the season where we'll do 240 wow. events a year, and this is the season where a lot of them happen. There's a lot of compression in the schedule.
So we're standing literally on the corner of the basketball court, as you can probably hear over there. I'm going to stop right here, and we'll talk for 3 minutes. Why did LA need this campus, to use your word? Why do we need it?
Well, it's funny. When you think back in 1997, when I started, we were back at the Forum in Inglewood.
Yeah, not in Inglewood.
All of the venues in the market were really old. They were all built in the 60s and the 70s. So there was a real hole in the market for a state-of-the-art venue. You look at the markets around the country. Every market had a state-of-the-art venue, and some a lot lesser markets than Los Angeles. So there was a real hole. People didn't understand what a modern venue would be like with suites and amenities and food and beverage. It was just there was a real void. So I think that was where the vision for AEG started, was with the acquisition of the LA Kings mm-hmm. back in 1995, and this vision to build an arena in downtown Los Angeles.
The Kings, we should say, is where you started with this organization.
It is. That's where I started. I was the chief financial officer back in 1997.
What's your nightmare then, right? I mean, what keeps you up at night? Because here you are running a global company with global brands. What are you worried about?
Well, I would say we have, I think about macro things, I think about micro things. You know, given how we talk about starting with the Kings, now we're 28,000 employees, over 200 venues all over the world. We've grown a lot. We promote tens of thousands of shows per year. We host tens of thousands of events in our venues per year on top of that. So on any given moment, right now there's an event going on somewhere within AEG.
Wow.
So with all of those events going on, I think a lot about safety and security. You know, it's an extremely high priority, something we think about a lot, hosting so many events. But to me, the way we address that is we have great people in place. We have great training and processes. We have equipment. We have technology. And we have a commitment to it. On the macro side, again, I think about the economy. And we are continuing to grow. We've been growing every year. And we always are having new projects. We just had two big projects open last month in Berlin and London.
Yeah.
Very successful projects. We have a number of others that we're getting ready to come out of the ground with. So I think about the economy.
What do you think about the economy? Because here we are, you know, it's the expansion is long in the tooth, and you run a company that depends a lot on discretionary income. Mm-hmm. What's your economic stress level?
Well, like we were talking about earlier, in 2008, I think one of the lessons learned is that in many ways we are recession resistant, not recession proof, but still we're investing a lot of capital. We're investing. So we have to be careful and selective with the risks that we take and the projects that we take on. So we have a new project that we're taking on in Bangkok, again, a variation on our entertainment district model. We really like that market. We think there's a real need in that market. We have a great local partner. We're breaking ground on a project in Nashville. Again, another very important market for us, strategic for us because of the importance of Nashville in the world of music. Yeah. So I think the impact that the economy plays, it sort of sets our mind as it relates to which projects we pick, the partners we choose, and the markets we pick. But we're always going to be a growing company. Our company has grown every year. We've set records in revenue and growth in the last 6 years. So we're going to continue to grow and continue to invest. And with the economy, we have to be careful. But there's also opportunity that comes with some of the economic distress.
Who gets to decide, you or Mr. Anschutz, the owner of your parent company?
So there's a group of us that collaborate and evaluate these projects. And it really is a team effort. Everybody brings different resources. Our chief revenue officer is a key component of that decision in evaluating the markets and the revenue possibilities. So it really is, this is a team of people who've been together for well over a decade.
It's easy when you're running a sports team or running a company that runs a sports team to think about one loss and percentages and all that. What are your metrics? How do you know if you're doing well, other than, I guess, people through the door, right?
Well, I think we look at our revenues, we look at our profitability, we look at our, there's, you know, the metrics have evolved so much, and we have a business intelligence group, and we use data and analytics. So we monitor attendance, we monitor pricing, we monitor per capita spending. The amount of data that we can gather now through our ticketing platform is richer than it's ever been before. So it not only does it help us to market in an intelligent way, but it helps us to measure ourselves and what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. The other thing that's interesting is we have a network of venues now. So we have, you know, hundreds of venues all over the world. And we see a show go from one venue to another. And we can learn a lot about, what is the audience like? What are the characteristics of that? And we can adapt our building to what we know that crowd is going to be. And that's part of using technology to have a flexible venue.
In 10 years, what does LA Live and this part of LA look like?
Well, if you would have asked me that 10 years ago, I probably would have lost that bet in terms of guessing what that would look like, because we were always bullish on downtown LA. I don't think any of us anticipated the type of development and the towers that are surrounding Staples Center, which used to be by itself. It was a sea of parking lots and not so desirable developments, and with this one jewel in the middle of it. And now you see it's becoming looking like the real heart of the city. So my hope is that it continues to develop and that downtown Los Angeles, it really becomes the heart of the city and it starts to look more like Manhattan. And if you look at it today, it looks a lot more like the center of Manhattan than it did 10 years ago.
AEG owns or operates the Kings, the LA Galaxy in Major League Soccer, also has a slice of the Lakers. You got a favor?
I love all my children the same. I love them all the same.
Man.
I'll tell you, there's a lot. I am passionate, and our fans know. They see me at every game. They know that I'm as passionate as they are about the teams. And I do. I love the teams. It's also, we have a vested interest in making sure that our teams are successful. So in addition to it being rewarding for us to be at the games and watch us win, it's also good for a business when we're successful. So I do love them all.
We've known each other for 15 minutes now, right? So this is going to sound like an out of left field question, but you seem like a reasonably quiet, reserved, not necessarily outgoing guy, and I wonder if you see any irony in you running this ginormous events and entertainment company.
We have a certain profile, and I like to let our brands do the talking in a lot of ways. I like talking to you. I like talking about our business. I like talking about the company because it's a great industry that we're in, and there's never been a better time to be in sports entertainment. So I love talking about it. But we have a certain profile that we want to maintain, and it's about the brands and our festivals and our venues and our teams, not about us.
What do you do every day?
Like, some days I'm lucky
days
I get to come
this,
and I get to walk the building with you. Although I am pretty much, at some point in every day, I'm walking a building somewhere. And that's part of it. But one of the things I love about the job and why I've been able to love waking up every day for the last 22 years is every day is different. Some days we're working on teams, we're working on new real estate projects, we're working on landing a big concert tour, we're working on landing a big boxing match. We're working on our teams now. We're in season with the Kings. It's an exciting time. We have LeBron here with the Lakers, and there's a pretty incredible excitement level there. So no 2 days are the same. If you look at last week, I think we had a doubleheader here.
And ooh, on the court.
Yep, there you go.
Wait, we got street shoes. Can we do this in street shoes?
Yeah, you're fine.
All right.
So we had a doubleheader. Really we had a Kings game during the day, and in between I went up to our suite, which is right up there. We had a three-hour break, and I sat up there and watched the changeover happen, which we can do in about 2 hours now. And it's pretty incredible.
There's a huge logistics component to not necessarily your job, but running this enterprise, right?
It is. You know, scheduling is always a challenge. We are a unique building because we have four anchor tenants with the Lakers, Kings, Sparks, and the Clippers. So scheduling is always a challenge. Plus, we have concerts and family shows and award shows. So the scheduling by itself is a puzzle piece. Now you're in the King's locker room.
Oh, so this is too funny. So we're in the King's locker room. That smell you can't smell on the radio is
it
hockey
smells
gear.
Like a hockey locker room.
Wow. This is cool, though. This is cool.
We did have a good game the other night. We had a nice win.
So I'm a Rangers fan from way back. So.
Well, I'm sorry about 2014.
Look, original six, man. Come on. Right? All right. Let's get out of here before our noses get used to this.
And then we have all the locker rooms along this corridor. So next you have the Clipper locker room here. We have the NHL visitors locker room after that. And then in the far end, we have the Laker locker room.
It
is.
Kinda.
And we have a lot of guests.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, whether it's, you know, we do have the hotel across the street, and it's heads and beds, and it's filling the seats, and that's what we do every day.
Huh.
It's hard to believe when you walk around that the building is almost 20 years old.
Well,
you know, we invest a lot into keeping it state-of-the-art.
Because 20 years on a facility is getting old, and you got four teams with disparate needs, and they're all going to want something else, right? Something different, something better, something new.
Yeah, and that's why and our consumer changes. The tastes and the needs of the consumer changes. You know, everybody is seeking these sort of tailored live event experiences.
Right.
So it really changes the way we think about this business from a technology standpoint. When we think about ticketing, you know, our goal is to make the fan experience as seamless and frictionless as possible. Whether they're finding an event with our ticketing company, to the delivery of the tickets, to the sharing of the tickets, and just really tailoring an experience. And all that data that we gather helps us create and curate special offers and experiences for our fans where we know who's in our building.
You're doing that, obviously, because there's competition out there, and this is an extremely competitive sector of the economy. Who is your competition? Who do you worry about?
Well, it's funny. You know, when you look at our company and you look at the divisions that we have our facilities division with all of our network of venues all over the world. We have our entertainment districts. We have our sports division. We have our music promotions business. We have our ticketing company, and we have our sponsorship division. And there are competitors within some of those divisions, and there may be even be a company that does two or maybe even three of those. But I don't think there's anyone that does all of those six things that we do. So it's hard to come up with a competitor with someone that competes with us on every aspect of our business, because we're a unique business that's a combination of hardware with our venues and our real estate and software with our music and our sports content.
Yeah.
So it's a unique kind of differentiated platform that we have.
Yeah. Who knows what that noise is?
I don't know.
Are they moving beer kegs? Is that what's going on?
I think it is.
It's worthwhile. So what is this now?
This I think is important for a number of different reasons. You know, when we build and operate our venues, we need to be mindful of doing it in a sustainable way. So we have goals about water conservation. We have goals about lowering our greenhouse gas emissions. We have goals about our power consumption. And this was a technology that actually checks a lot of those boxes. And what it actually does, it's a partnership with Blue Eco. It actually strips humidity from the air, and it creates water with it. Water that you and I can drink. So we use it for a whole bunch of different purposes in the venue, and we use it to create the ice sheet for the Kings to play on.
Oh, makes sense, right?
So what it dehumidifies the air, it makes it more comfortable, it saves on our air conditioning bills, so it makes economic sense too. It creates great ice, which our players like because it's clear and it's dense and they can skate faster. It lowers our water consumption, it reduces our power consumption. So it's one of those things where it makes really good business sense, and it's something that's good for the environment also.
Yeah. Even as you bring 20,000 people here on a
exactly. We know that we're going to have an impact on the environment by the size of these projects and the number of people that we're bringing here and the amount of energy it takes to power a venue such as this. But if you can do certain things and mitigate that impact, that's what we're trying to do. And we set goals for ourselves every year, not just for Staples Center, but all over the world, for water consumption, greenhouse gas emissions, and power consumption. And we measure ourselves against those every year. And it's important for us. It's a priority.
Let's get out of here. Let's lead the way out of here, and then we'll call it a day. So that was it, my conversation with Dan Beckerman, the president and CEO of AEG. Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your podcast delivery mechanism of choice. Leave us a review as well. We'd appreciate that. The Corner Office Podcast is produced by Daisy Palacios. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive director of On Demand. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Another episode for you in a couple of weeks.